The headlines, Iran's leader congratulates the nation on the Persian New Year, naming it as surge in production through people's participation. Canada halts arms exports to Israel as the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza continues for the 66th day, despite the global 166th day, that is, despite the global plea to stop the bloodshed. And also, the Israeli occupation army admits its failure to intercept a missile fired from Yemen and its vicinity of the southern port of Eilat. Hello and welcome, everybody. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has congratulated the Iranian nation on the Persian New Year. In a televised address to the nation, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei named the new year as a surge in production through people's participation. Elaborating on this year's slogan, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The growth in production will solve many of Iran's economic problems, including inflation and unemployment." That's why the leader added the issue of domestic production has been highlighted in New Year's slogans over the past years. Ayatollah Khamenei reviewed the previous Iranian calendar as well. The leader said the country saw an outstanding improvement in the scientific and technological domain over the past 12 months. He also pointed to some key events that Iranians witnessed at home as well as those that occurred abroad. Ayatollah Khamenei said the most tragic of all those events was the one that took place in Gaza, a reference to the ongoing Israeli genocidal war on the besieged territory. Well, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi made a televised speech on the Persian New Year as well. He said his administration did not sacrifice the future of the country by focusing on minor issues. Raisi touched on the efforts his administration made to boost the country's economic and industrial growth. He wished a prosperous new year and said his government will do its best to control inflation and increase industrial production. The Iranian president also highlighted other domestic issues and pledged that his administration will complete half-finished projects. He added the government will direct the available funds toward production and infrastructure. Well, Iranians are celebrating Nowruz around the country as the occasion coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. Celebrating Nowruz in Iran dates back to thousands of years ago and comes along with many customs to enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. Families visit each other and sit around the half-seen table praying for a good year ahead. About 300 million people worldwide celebrate Nowruz with traditions and rituals that vary in each country. In 2009, the United Nations designated Nowruz as an international event at the initiative of several countries that share this event. This year, Muslims in these countries are also celebrating Ramadan, which gives a holy vibe to the New Year celebrations.
Nowruz, the beginning of the Persian New Year, has always given energy and hope to people celebrating the event to observe Iranian traditions and enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. The arrival of Nowruz for Iranians is tantamount to shopping spree and finishing their undone work. Millions of Iranians embrace the turn of the Persian year and celebrate the spring festival with many ceremonial customs waiting to be observed.
Well, everybody is busy shopping. It is time of Nowruz and the new year. I have bought sabze, sweets and fruits. We're waiting for the new year to arrive.
Sofre Hafsin is unique, symbolic for the Nowruz festivity and its tradition. The Hafsin spread includes 7 items, all starting with the letter seen in the Persian alphabet. Iranians say there's a history behind each element, including serke, vinegar, symbolizes patience and immortality, sumac represents love and compassion, sib, apple, is a symbol of health and fertility, senjet, silverberry, is seen as a simulator of love and affection. Sabze, sprouts, symbolizes rebirth. Seed or garlic is a symbol of protection in the face of affliction. And samanu represents affluence.
This year it's different, as it has coincided with Ramadan. So we visit our family members and parents after iftar. And yes, it is great.
Nowruz is a unique opportunity for families and relatives to get together and visit each other. That is why Nowruz is regarded as a cultural bridge which unites people. This year, as Nowruz holidays coincide with the holy month of Ramadan, family members will most likely meet up after sunset or time of iftar when those who are fasting break their fast. Nowruz has begun and the Iranians are celebrating it as an ancient festivity to mark the first day of spring and the renewal of life and nature. This year, Nowruz has a different flavor to it as the Iranians are celebrating it with the holy month of Ramadan together, making it an exception. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Afghan people are making preparations to ring in the solar new year. Of course, Samanak, they have seen table, fish, and dry fruits are the necessities of marking the occasion. This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan, so most gatherings are likely to be held during iftar meals, when people break their fasts.
We usually begin the new year by visiting relatives and the elderly. People exchange sweets and gifts, wishing each other a happy new year. Samank is an important part of the festivity beside other sweet meals. We also visit parks and hometowns with friends to embrace the revival of nature and greet the elderly.
Nowruz also brings the spirit of renewal and optimism as the blooming season arrives. Afghans traditionally buy or plant trees and flowers to bring new life into their homes and communities. This practice serves as a symbol of hope, growth, and resilience.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the arrival of spring and the renewal of the year, we are launching a tree planting campaign. We are trying to decorate the city with adorable colors and fresh vibes. I also urge others to pay attention to environmental stewardship and a greener future.
I congratulate all on the revival of the new year. I hope the coming year brings peace and happiness to our people and will be a year filled with job opportunities and blessings.
Despite the challenges faced by Afghanistan, its people find solace, joy, and a profound meaning in their cherished traditions and culture. For them, Nowruz is more than just a festival. It's a way of life that demonstrates their heritage and resilience. On the occasion of Nowruz, Afghan people celebrate the arrival of spring and the hope for better days ahead, wishing everyone a happy and prosperous new year. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has also issued a congratulatory message on the Persian New Year, also known as Nowruz. In his message to all nations celebrating Nowruz, Guterres said the occasion brings together millions of people across generations and nations. He added that the annual event promotes dialogue, good neighborliness, and reconciliation. Guterres noted that Nowruz reinforces peace, human rights, and dignity, which are actually the goals and values of the United Nations. He also called for bridging divides and fostering unity. The death toll in the Gaza Strip continues to grow as Israel carries out more bombings in the besieged territory. The health ministry in Gaza says Israeli forces killed nearly 100 people and injured over 140 others in a day of attacks. At least 30 civilians were killed when regime forces bombed a gathering of popular committees formed to secure the transfer of aid from the Kuwait roundabout to Gaza City. Some 15 people were also killed by an Israeli airstrike targeting a house in the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Rescue operations are ongoing to recover victims trapped under the rubble of the three-story building. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza since October the 7th has risen above 31,801. Nearly 74,000 have also been injured. And the Canadian government has decided to stop exporting weapons to Israel following a motion that was ratified by the House of Commons. A foreign minister announced that Ottawa will no longer allow weapon exports to Israel. That came after lawmakers endorsed a wide-ranging package that also called for a halt to weapon shipments to Tel Aviv. Melanie Joly emphasized that although the parliamentary measure is non-binding, the Canadian government has heeded the call to stop arming Israel. The move has angered the Israeli regime. Foreign Minister Israel Katz denounced the Canadian decision, claiming that, quote, history will judge. Canada's House of Commons approved the halt in weapons sales to Israel on Monday following a heated debate.
The European Union states that Netanyahu is using deliberate starvation of children in Gaza as a weapon of war. Human rights groups have spoken out against targeting of journalists, civilians, hospitals, aid workers. And the UN has called out for Canada for complicity in this because we provide the military weapons to Israel. Last night, Parliament called for an end to military aid to Netanyahu's government. And yet numerous military supply deals are still in the works. So will the minister respect Parliament and tell us whether or not deals like the guns from Colt and Kitchener and armed vehicles from Rochelle and Brampton will be sent to Israel, yes or no?
Well, Canada had previously paused issuing military export permits to Israel amid the public outcry, but said it was still assessing applications on a case-by-case basis. But the issue remained at the heart of controversy as lawmakers and rights activists were demanding a complete ban on weapons to Israel. A Canadian pro-Palestine advocacy group has called the parliamentary motion a small step forward for ending the country's complicity in Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Canada has witnessed several mass anti-Israel rallies, with demonstrators calling on the government to stop supporting the Tel Aviv regime. The Israeli military has confirmed that a missile fired from Yemen hit the vicinity of Eilat port in the occupied Palestinian territories. A cruise missile was launched on Monday from the Yemeni army-controlled water in the Red Sea. That was the first Yemeni missile that successfully hit the Israeli target. The regime's Iron Dome and Arrow missile defense systems also failed to intercept the rocket. There's still no report of casualties or damage, as the military claims the missile fell in an unpopulated area. Eilat port has already been struggling financially amid Yemen's operations against Israeli or Israeli-bound ships in the Red Sea. The Yemeni armed forces have pledged that they would keep targeting those vessels unless the regime stops its bloodshed of Palestinians and ends its siege on Gaza. The Islamic resistance in Iraq says it has conducted fresh attacks against Israeli positions in solidarity with Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. In its latest operation, the resistance group attacked Israel's Ben-Gurion airport with drones. This is the second strike by the Iraqi resistance on this airport in less than 2 weeks. The group said the attack is part of the second phase of operations in support of the Palestinians in Gaza and in response to the Israeli massacres against innocent civilians. In recent months, the Islamic resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israel's positions in the occupied territories and elsewhere. It has also attacked U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Well, Israeli raids on the occupied West Bank have become almost daily occurrences. Over the past several months, the regime's troops abducted several people after conducting fresh incursions into several Palestinian towns and neighborhoods. Our Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kendall, earlier joined us with more details.
Israeli forces stormed several areas across the occupied West Bank. On Tuesday, a Palestinian carried out a shooting, wounding two Israeli security officers. One of them was shot and wounded, and he was in serious condition. This happened near Gush Atzion, between Beit Lahem and Al Khalil. Today, the Israeli forces stormed these areas in Beit Lahem and in Al Khalil, and the Israelis have stormed as well Jenin, because the hometown of this Palestinian who carried out the shooting and was shot and killed is the Al-Hashimiyah town in Jenin. The Israelis stormed Al-Hashimiyah town, stormed several cities, several towns, and refugee camps around Jenin, and a number of Palestinians had been detained there. The Israeli forces also stormed Nablus, and they surrounded a house in one of the neighborhoods there. Clashes continued for several hours, according to statement from the resistance groups. And at the end of the day, one Palestinian was arrested. The Israeli military said that this Palestinian, originally from Jenin as well, he is a wanted Palestinian by the Israeli forces. The Israeli soldiers stormed Al Janazon refugee camp near Ramallah, and a number of Palestinians had been detained. The Israeli forces also raided Jifna town near Bir Zeit, and a number of Palestinians had been arrested there. The exact number up to the moment is still unknown, but as every day we have been documenting the detentions by the Israeli forces.
Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan says his country and Iraq have agreed to step up security, military, and counterterrorism cooperation. After his visit to Baghdad, he said Turkey is working on a plan that includes the Iraqi government to eliminate the Kurdistan Workers' Party militant group, the PKK. Rashid Sagan reports from Istanbul.
Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan says Turkey and Iraq will cooperate on securing Turkey's southern border. Fidan said that Iraq went through a challenging period for the past two decades, and the chaotic situation in the country allowed the Kurdistan Workers' Party PKK militant group to expand its presence and activities. He added that Ankara has been working on eliminating the group's presence, and now it is going to draw a plan that involves the Iraqi government. On March 14th, the minister led a delegation to Iraq, where discussions were held on cooperation in the fields of security, military, and counterterrorism.
We are trying to work in cohesion with the Iraqi government. The PKK terrorists took advantage of the chaotic situation in the country to become permanent and expand its presence. We welcome the Iraqi government's designation of PKK as banned organization.
This comes as Turkey has a plan to launch a new military operation in northern Iraq this summer.
Turkey announced in advance that it will not conduct any political dialogue with the Kurdistan terrorist organization. No country conducts dialogue with the terrorist organization. Turkey wants to crown its military successes with a parallel political dialogue, and has a will to end the terrorism issue once and for all through military, intelligence, and political coordination with Iraq. Baghdad announced lately that the Kurdistan Workers' Party is an unwelcome organization, and this is a political success for Turkey.
Iraq's government ban on the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, comes ahead of an expected visit by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan next month. Ankara's statement about increasing security along its southern border comes as Iraq has so far failed to designate the PKK as terrorist organization and only banned the group, despite Turkey's attempts. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Happy Iranian New Year! Happy Nowruz! 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 Leaders meeting with chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts of the Leadership on Thursday, 7th of March. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Thursday, 7th of March, members of the 5th Assembly of Experts had their last official gathering in a meeting with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader started off by recommending to all prayers and supplication in the remaining days of the month of Sha'ban. He said, "The month of Sha'ban is for purifying and enlightening our hearts by seeking God's forgiveness through supplications and prayer. It is the month for preparing ourselves for the abundant and infinite blessings of the holy month of Ramadan. What a person prays for during this month is special. O God, grant me complete detachment from my worldly desires so I can come towards you. O God, give me a heart that longs to be close to you and a tongue that speaks the truth to you." These requests are filled with light, grace and spirituality. We must say, "O God, if you have not forgiven us yet in this month of Sha'ban, a portion of which has passed, then forgive us in the remaining days of this month. May the Almighty help us make good use of the few days that are left of this month and bestow His grace upon us all." Turning to the well-attended and enthusiastic nationwide rallies and marches on 11th of February and Parliamentary and Assembly of Expert elections on 1st of March, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "February and March of this year revealed signs of Islamic democracy more than in other years. From the 10 days of dawn celebrations to Parliamentary and Assembly of Expert elections in March, all of these are signs and characteristics relating to Islamic democracy and the Islamic Republic." Referring to the birth of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the leader said, "The birth of the Islamic Republic had a global impact. It was an earthquake, a global event, that created two opposing fronts in the world. One front was comprised of democracies dependent on the ideology of liberal democracy, and another front, a republic originating from religion and Islam, and related to religion and Islam. These two fronts were brought into existence with the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they did not exist prior to the emergence of the Islamic Republic. Naturally, it brought complications for both sides. The incompatibility between these two fronts was natural, and it was evident from day one." Commenting further, the leader said, "It should not be imagined that this incompatibility is solely because of religion, where one side adheres to religion and the other side is indifferent about it. It isn't just that. It may appear to be so, but in fact the divisions and incompatibility are far more fundamental and run much deeper. The problem was that this faction of mainstream Western democracy felt that this new model that had emerged was in conflict with its major interests and perhaps ultimately opposed its existence. They sensed this very much. This sentiment was created in general in the opposite side from the outset of the Islamic Republic of Iran's establishment, and it intensified and grew as time passed. This opposition and serious conflict is due to the fact that at the core of the system of liberal democracy and the governments that were created based on that rationale and principle, there is an inherent arrogance, aggression, and transgression. Arrogance here has the same meaning that we use in the Islamic Revolution, that is, it encompasses oppression, aggression, and the violation of other nations' rights. This is in the nature of Western liberal democracy." The leader added, "These governments saw that their wealth, their power and absolute domination depended on attacking and invading weaker nations. This is evidenced by the fact that at the height of the faction's popular slogans, that is, the slogans of democracy, freedom and human rights, that peaked in the 19th century, parallel to these slogans, the largest colonization movement of that faction also took place in the same period of time. In further remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The peak of colonization of Asian, African and Latin American countries was during the 19th century, and it continued into the early 20th century. In other words, these two events took place simultaneously. Those slogans becoming common in the 19th century and the arrogant movement towards colonialism, which was accompanied by oppression and a disregard for other nations' rights, took place at the same time. Naturally, when there is no spirituality, a background of oppression and injustice takes root. When a group feels strong and is able to exploit and plunder a country, like India for example, which was wealthy, had industries and was considered advanced at the time, and by using force and pressure can seize control and use that country's wealth and resources to increase its own wealth, power and capabilities, why would it not do so? When there is no spirituality, what is there to prevent it from doing so? It can, so it does, and it did. Colonialism took over in important regions of Asia, including in East Asia, India and surrounding countries. It also took place in Africa and in Latin America. The most important issue of the opposing front, which was created based on a religious democracy, is to confront oppression, arrogance and transgression. That is, the foundation of a government which is formed based on religion and Islam is neither harming others nor suffering harm. Its primary objective is to fight and confront oppression. As the Holy Quran says, those who have faith fight in the way of Allah. This is why, naturally, this confrontation and mutual hostility came about automatically. This is a reality that came about. Warmongering and endless bloodshed in the pursuit of power are some of the characteristics of the Western liberal democracy, which is formed in the name of this so-called democracy, but is far from spirituality and religion. Many of these tragic events took place in Europe itself. However, they are always united when they're facing non-Europeans. But when they become free from doing that, they're at odds with each other as well. As a matter of fact, the problems and what happened in Europe in the 19th century, the wars, the massacres and the aggression, prove my earlier point. In further comments, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "We're not opposed to other governments and other countries. As a rule, rather, we're opposed to oppression, exploitation, arrogance and aggression. We're opposed to the events that you see unfolding today in the Gaza Strip. A nation, the owners of the land, are subjected to such severe oppression in their own land. Their women, their children, their families, their homes and their infrastructure and all of their belongings are destroyed with absolute brutality and heartlessness, while some countries simply stand by and watch. Not only do they not oppose or prevent these actions by the aggressor, they even offer to help the aggressor. The United States, Britain and some European countries have helped the aggressor." This is what we are saying. We're opposed to this. The things that set the Islamic Republic in opposition to the opposing front are these concepts. In further remarks, the leader said, "The second conclusion that may be drawn is that we need to continually raise the battle flag against the arrogant powers. We need to ensure that the battle flag against the arrogant powers remains in the hands of the Islamic Republic of Iran at all times. We must take the lead and be in the forefront of raising this flag more prominently each day." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The third and final conclusion that I would like to make is that we must clarify this truth to our younger generation. Our younger generation, our young people, and the future generations need to know what the vision of the Islamic Republic is and why it opposes certain things. Fortunately, of course, in the 4.5 decades that have passed since the formation of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have been successful, both regionally and globally, in conveying this message to the outside world. Conveying the message of the Islamic Revolution to the wider world." Turning to the Assembly of Experts, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The Assembly of Experts are responsible for the most important tasks, which are selecting the leader and overseeing the maintenance of the leader's qualifications. This is perhaps the most important task in the management of Iranian society today. The Assembly of Experts must ensure that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are upheld in their decisions and selections. They should take care that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are not neglected. This is very important. This means the leader must be selected while respecting and considering the fixed principles that are fundamental certainties in the Islamic Republic." Commenting on the parliamentary or majlis elections, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Each new parliament or majlis brings with it fresh hope and aspirations. With the formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, new hopes develop due to that majlis, and there are new opportunities as well. New representatives enter the parliament and they interact with more experienced members of the parliament. They can use the successful past experiences and implement new ideas, and this is a valuable asset. The formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, is a valuable asset that can be used for the country. This should be appreciated. Fresh blood enters the new majlis or parliament, and God willing, the nation will benefit as a whole." In concluding remarks, the leader wished success for all the new members of the Assembly of Experts, and he wished God's blessing upon all those present.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. We have been speaking about supporting our brothers in faith, and we mentioned the fact that first we need to support them economically in terms of wealth, and we read all the hadiths in this regard. today, I want to look at the ahadith that talks about having to give them the moral support. And sometimes, to a lot of brothers and sisters, having the moral support is actually priceless. I would rather have a person support me in terms of my mental needs rather than my financial needs. Because at the end of the day, what's the point of having money if your mind is not in the right place? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says in a hadith when he was talking to his Shia, to his companions and followers, he said, "Fear Allah, be pious of Allah, be aware of Allah, and be good, loving, righteous brothers, that you love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mutawasileen, that you connect with one another, mutarahimeen, that you have mercy towards one another, tazawaru, visit one another, watalaqaw, and sit and meet with one another, وَتَذَاكَرُوا أَمْرَنَا وَأَحْيُوا, and talk about our affair and bring it to life." Now, Imam Sadiq alayhi salamullah, he's trying to get me and you as brothers in faith and sisters in faith to meet and sit and mingle amongst each other and talk. Because when you see someone and you sit with someone, it makes you forget your own personal problems. It makes you feel good mentally. It releases all the negativity out of your system. And then you kind of tune towards a different way where you just want to have fun with your friends and your brothers and sisters. So the Imam says, get together. And if you speak about us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhum assalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only He will give you the mercy and the blessings of meeting one another, but He would also give you the mercy and send His blessings upon you, because now you're talking about us, the Ahlul Bayt. So we get double bonus in terms of mercy and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about moral support, the A'imma alayhum as-salam, the imams, first and foremost, they want us to gather. They want us to sit together. They want us to meet one another. When we are isolated, when everyone is doing his own business and everyone is in his own house and no one knows what's going on, then we are pretty much far away from each other. The Prophet said the mu'mineen are like a wall that is very firm and stuck to each other. If we are not, then we are just bricks lying on the side that anyone can cast away. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Ayatollah Javadi Omri, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتی و جنان است چه فرون دماز و سواب داره فرون روزون است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درخت کاری اینجا کم سواب داره دعا هم داره سواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام همونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری میگه ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree.
محیط زیست نگه سالم نگه داره این دقل ثواب داره.
There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
وقتی میخوای کشاورزی کنی یه قدر گندم بگیر رو به قبله بیست این دعا رو بخون اینم هم امام گفته دیگه.
When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned.
تو نظام اسلامی
We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. So far, we understood that we have to support one another morally, mentally, spiritually, not just financially. Amongst the things that the Ahlul Bayt said we need to give to one another is advice. And before advice, what makes me give you advice is the fact that I see something happening, whether it is good or it is bad, that drives me to give you advice in the first place. I can't just come to you, give you advice out of nowhere. You would say to me, what is the occasion for what you're saying? So the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and specifically Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, he was giving his will to his son Imam al-Hasan alayhi as-salam. So he's entrusting him with his will. And the will of Amir al-Mu'mineen is not filled with real estate and gold, rather advices for me and you. He says to him, when it comes to your brother, give him the advice. Don't be stingy. Give him advice. Now, this nasiha, he says, hasanatan kanat aw qabiha. Sometimes the advice is good, and sometimes the advice is bad. He said, nevertheless, give him the advice and help him, support him. Maybe he's doing something wrong. You come to him and you give him an advice that says to him, this is wrong. Now, to the listener, it's not a good advice because obviously it's going against his personal interests. But for you, it's the right thing to do. And the Imam said, help him out. So giving advice, and when we have to be critical of our friends and our brothers in faith, we have to give it to them. We have to tell them. Not necessarily they have to like it, but I can't say, well, nah, he will get upset, I won't talk to him. That's not a good way to deal with your brothers in faith. According to the Ahlul Bayt, mind you, this is not according to me. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, the most beloved out of my brothers to me is the one that gifts me my faults. Now, look how precise and beautiful the Imam uses the word gifts me. Sometimes you can give a person something and nothing is going to happen there. Like, here's something, nothing special. When you give a hadiyah, when you give a gift to someone, you're indicating that there is an occasion, right? So I give you a birthday gift, I give you a wedding gift, I give you whatever gift. And that gift comes from what? From an occasion. So you are celebrating something that requires me to give you a gift. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he's saying, the minute you come and gift me my faults, that's a celebration for me. I'm winning. I'm happy. Why? Because now I get to change something. Then why is it for us, when someone tells me that I'm doing something wrong, I get upset? Who is better, me or my imam? The Imam says it is an occasion of celebration. That's why you're getting a gift. You should be happy. So when our brothers have faults, we need to tell them. When we have faults, we need our brothers to tell us our faults as well. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion space spent in time, in time.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Yani
Bazaar
Whether man-made or not, food can have fascinating backstories. Products usually take a long journey before they end up on the dining table. Nevertheless, the food industry follows several golden rules that have helped it steadily grow over time. The most important of these is continuous product innovation and improved production processes to reduce costs and wastage. Others involve packaging and product accessibility, but probably the king of all rules is the taste that drives the food industry.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar, the weekly programme that analyses markets, profits, industries and all sorts of things that connect us nationally and internationally. This week, we will be exploring the food industry and its related agricultural markets. We wanted to see how the food sector has expanded over the years and what companies are doing to increase their profits. So, let's check out the Tasty Grub.
To To become more familiar with how much work goes into food production, we visited Golha Food Industries. It was established nearly a century ago, and its products are now a household name. It produces hundreds of items in seven categories, such as dried legumes and fruit, spices and canned products. It also takes great pride in its healthy product line, including gluten-free flour products. This producer has devoted a lot of attention to the packaging of its products. Due to its diverse product list, it purchases such materials as cans, plastic, and cardboard to design the appropriate type of storage systems for distribution. The company has a massive daily output due to its expansive production facilities. Most of the work is done by automated machines, but the fine details are handled by experienced staff. All production processes start when raw material enters the company. These materials are first tested for quality before hitting the production floors, most of which are domestically supplied. After being tested, the material is sent to various closed circuit machines for processing. Then it is time for sorting and more quality control tests before packaging. Food production is a very sensitive process requiring many checks and controls that guarantee the final product is safe for consumption. And production machines play an essential role as they reduce errors and maintain constant output results. Plus, many of these machines have been domestically engineered, whereas they were previously imported at high prices. This company has a highly equipped quality control and research and development lab. It's where many new products are created and food safety standards are controlled. Moreover, the staff in this department implement food sciences to make innovative products. It might be interesting to know that this department also has some of the best food tasters. This producer has been awarded Best Research and Development Department in Food Production for many consecutive years. Among its many achievements, it has also been awarded the certificate of favored brand by customers. This wouldn't be possible without adhering to strict national and international food safety and production management standards. Following such standards has helped it maintain its export share in the global food market. With years of experience, this company has grown such that it provides thousands of employment opportunities, both directly and indirectly. It also has thousands of agencies and stores all over the country. Plus, its products can also be purchased online. As part of its future vision, this company is looking to increase its market share both domestically and abroad. It also has long-term plans to increase production and improve the production process for efficiency. The Iranian food industry has taken giant strides away from its traditional production methods. Industry participants say using food sciences and new technologies has helped the food industry grow faster than before. Never more than now has food been more accessible. In fact, it only requires a touch of a few buttons to receive it at home. Therefore, food packaging is a critical part of the production. Over the last decade, there has been a great emphasis on developing packaging for the food industry. This is because Iran indigenized many machines needed to process and produce food items such as deli meats, beverages, pickles, and so much more. Proper packaging also increases shelf life, which is important for consumers. Previously, food items such as spices and dairy products were purchased bulk from customers abroad due to a lack of packaging. While exporting items in bulk has benefits, it's not as profitable as selling prepackaged foodstuff. So, in addition to adding value to raw products such as meat, companies have also designed attractive packaging to contain food in more manageable portions. Such a strategy increases not only product quality, but also food safety, which helps producers meet international export standards. This trend also helps companies with branding and has created job opportunities for designers.
As you probably already know, the food industry is heavily dependent on production in the agriculture sector. So it's no surprise that the agriculture sector holds the pulse of national food security and food exports. Plus, it is one of the only sectors that has been barely impacted by the US-imposed sanctions and the global coronavirus outbreak. That was horrible.
We looked at some figures from the Ministry of Agriculture to see how this sector is doing. Last year, around 6 million tons of agricultural and foodstuff products were exported. Trade of these products raked in roughly $4 billion. Pistachio, saffron, and confectionery products topped the export charts in value during that period. Other agriculture sectors, such as livestock, poultry, and aquaculture, have also generated millions of dollars in exports. Last year, nearly 450,000 tons of these items were sent to markets in neighboring regions worth $500 million. Agriculture accounts for 8% of the country's gross domestic product. It might be interesting to know that around half of Iran's total non-oil trade comes from this sector. That's all based on data from Iran's Ministry of Agriculture. According to Iran's Customs Administration, the total non-oil trade value rose nearly 40% last year. Over 120 million tons of non-oil products worth $72 billion were traded with other countries in that period. Meanwhile, the government has implemented measures to encourage the development of agriculture. One trend this sector is witnessing is the application of smart technologies for the cultivation and harvest of various products. There has also been a boom in developing greenhouses and green practices to preserve natural resources. The word plastic was initially used to describe pliable and easily shaped objects. However, it only recently became a name for a category of materials called polymers. Such materials are abundant in nature. Take cellulose, for example. It's the material that makes up the cell walls of plants. However, synthetic polymers are a more recent invention of the last 150 years. These come from the plentiful carbon atoms found in fossil fuels. Since then, they have become an integral part of the industry, technology, and even various sciences.
We will explore Iran's plastic and polymer productions. We will also check out some of its downstream markets and their contributions to the national economy. These days, we use more plastic than ever before. It's terrible. So where does this material come from? And what goes into making this stuff? Let's find out.
Our quest for answers led us to a company specializing in making various polymer products. Parsa Polymer Sharif was established some 20 years ago and is a knowledge-based company that was born in the research department of the University of Sharif. As a leading advanced polymer compound manufacturer, it makes various products essential to everyday living. It produces compounds based on commodity thermoplastic resins like PP, PE, and the famous PET, or PET. It also engineers resins like PVC and so much more. This knowledge-based company is a major supplier of raw materials to many industries. Some include original equipment manufacturers in the automotive market and PVC pipe producers in the construction industry. Over the years, this company has helped Iran save millions on products that would otherwise be imported. This firm has three main functions: research and development, innovation center, and production. It also has a brand new line for researching and producing.